We had good service Friday night. We was going to try to stream it live, and we couldn't get. And I was using two different cell carriers, and we couldn't get a signal big enough to send one out. And so I thought, well, we'll record it. And about halfway through, the camera just fell over. Who knows? I don't know why. So I don't know if I didn't check last night to see if the recording was any good or not. So we'll see. All right. But I'll do my best. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. All right. Acts chapter 16. Let's read that story there in the Bible. Talking about different spirits. And in the age of the internet, the internet has done some good, and the president seems to know how to use the internet, and when he can't say what he wants to say, when the news won't cover him, he'll just say what he wants to say anyway, and so he figured, he's like Kennedy. Kennedy figured out, or somebody that was with him was real smart, because for the first time ever, Kennedy is going to do a debate on television, live, from the American people. Never been done before. And Kennedy realized the age of television and what it could do. And if you ever watched anything of that first debate between him and Nixon, just the way they dressed meant a lot, because black and white television, and if you go look at it, it was a light background, and Nixon wore a light colored suit and he just blended in, and Kennedy wore a dark suit and he just stood out. And a lot of people look back now and they see that that's part of what made a difference in the American people. Nixon was sweating real bad, like I do all the time. And Kennedy just looked calm and cool and collected. But he was a younger man, and he sort of reached out to that television audience. And I have no idea why I was saying. Oh, the internet. So it's an internet world now. It's not a TV world. It's an internet world now. And the devil figured this out a long time ago. You can say the devil invented the internet. I can say he invented television. But everybody now that has the dumbest ideas about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, about the Holy Spirit, they get a voice now on the internet. And what surprises me is people listen to the dumbest, the most bizarre things in the world. People are listening. And in some ways it bothers me. But in some ways, I understand that that's the world that we live in now. And I want to try to be, if all the stupid people are over here on this side of the street saying their stuff, I want to be on the other side saying, no, this is what God's Word says. And then let people choose whose side they're going to be on. Because everybody gets a choice. Amen? It is. God gives everybody a choice. A free will. They can choose. They can choose right. They can choose wrong. They can choose a flat earth, a round earth. Doesn't matter. They can choose whichever one they want to live on. But they have a choice. And so we're offering people. God uses the devil to give people a true choice. If God didn't put two trees in the garden, they wouldn't have a choice. It's just either eat this or do without. You don't get a choice. But God gave Adam and Eve, he gave us a free will. He gave a conscience. He gave us intelligence. And he gave us the ability to choose our destiny, choose our fate. God, of course, knowing what everybody's choice already is. It's already known to him. And so the devil and all of his minions, all of his devils, the little gods that you see in the Bible, unclean spirits, different kinds of spirits, those are all in operation to deceive people who only want to be deceived. To mislead people only who want to be misled. To lie to people who don't want to know the truth. And believe it or not, there are people who really do not want to know the truth. And so Babylon, God said, is a golden cup in the Lord's hand. And he uses Babylon and her mysteries and her secrets and her drunkenness and her spirits to lie and to deceive people who want to be lied and deceived, lied to and deceived, who do not want a clean, holy spirit living in them. They want different kinds of spirits. So they want unclean spirits. So they want powers. They want to be on top of some big mystery somewhere. And so there are spirits out there that will fulfill those needs. And so this is why you have all these different spirits mentioned in the Bible. God's identifying them for you, and he's telling you what they do and how they act and how to spot them and how to know them. So if you learn how to spot all the bad spirits, then the Holy Spirit then is out, set apart on its own, and it's not hard to find out what the real Holy Spirit is. So let's look in Acts chapter 16. There is a thing called divination. Can somebody define that for me? What do you think that means, divination? Spirit of divination. What is a diviner? A fortune teller. What'd you say, Helen? Somebody able to detect something, okay? You get a sense of something. A spirit is showing you something that are not discernible by natural means. You can't read it in a book. You can't see it in a microscope. You can't look in a telescope or binoculars or anything. You can't hear it with the natural ears, and so you're sensing it. It is the idea that people want to know knowledge that they think they cannot gain from using the five senses. So they have what's called a sixth sense, which is I feel it, or I am discerning this in some spiritual way, some supernatural way, other than just knowing it by seeing it or hearing it or feeling it or tasting it or smelling it. And so in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Now, keep all this together, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. All right? Get the picture here. This young lady, we don't know how she got this spirit, but she was possessed. A devil had taken her over. This was the natural part of her life. Every waking hour was spent being controlled by this particular devil. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that spirits, evil spirits, actually have an ability to see things in the future? You think they do?
Yes.
Okay. In what way? Yeah. Sure. They know a time's coming. Okay, that's pretty good. Okay. Anybody else? Do you think spirits have the ability to say in 24 hours this is going to happen and then it happens? Do you think they have that ability? Todd, you say yes? You're nodding your head? Okay. That's very good. They are higher than us. And even in this world, the higher you get, the farther you can see, right? We'll apply that to time. The higher up you are, the further down the road you can see. Here's my little theory. I think spirits that predict the future probably cause as much of that future to happen as they are just guessing what's going to happen. In other words, a spirit could say, hey, tomorrow at 12:30, there's going to be a massive train wreck downtown St. Louis. Well, they're the ones that are going to wreck the train tomorrow at 12:30, okay? So I think that could be part of it, too. I think they are going to cause some of these things that they're actually going to predict. Can they be right 100% of the time? No, that's easy, isn't it? Because there's only one that's right. That's how you know. That's the it. That's the line right there is they are never going to be right 100% of the time. God is never going to let them. God's never going to let us be right 100% of the time. The only one that's right all the time is God. And he's not sharing this ability with anybody else. He is always going to be right. I lost my screen here. I don't have it here. Here it is. So when this young lady, this damsel, has the spirit of divination, she can be right many times. In fact, the fact that she has made her masters a lot of money seems to tell us that she has an uncanny ability to see in a limited fashion into the future, just enough to get people to go, you ought to go see, you know, Sister So-and-so. She's got a little shop down at the corner. Man, I tell you what, she told me all kinds of things that there's no way anybody could know these things. Well, familiar spirit knows them, because familiar spirits go around with everybody, and they know what everybody does, know what everybody says. Got a little network going, and lo and behold, they are familiar with people's lives, and they're able to say things that people don't know how they said it. Well, they're spirits. They're above us. They can see things. And so I think in a limited way, they can foretell or project a future. We know that the false prophet is going to create lying signs and wonders. Now, if every one of those signs and wonders, if none of them came to pass, nobody's going to follow it. Nobody's going to fall for somebody who gets it wrong every single time, unless they're a liberal Democrat. Amen? I just thought I'd throw that in there. Anyway, I said liberal, okay? Nobody's going to follow somebody who lies 100% of the time because they're going, that guy's a joke, he never gets it right. So they're going to have a limited ability to do this. Does this young lady, this damsel, have that power in and of herself? The Bible says no, she has a spirit of divination. So just people saying that I believe people are born with certain gifts and they can see the future or they can read people's minds, that's a gift they have. It's not a gift, that's the devil. Okay, that's a lying spirit. That is a spirit that's going to show a sign or a wonder, and it's going to come to pass. But the idea is to always lead people away from the cross. Get them away from the Bible. Get them away from the cross. Get them away from the blood of Jesus. Get them away from Jesus, the divine word. Even if they make it out that Jesus is participating with them, they will use Jesus in a limited way. But they won't just go full-fledged, well, if you want to know anything, read your Bible. They won't do that. Their goal is to lead people away from the Word of God. So, now, here's what's interesting. We know that she brought her masters much gain, and that's very relevant to discerning a spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit, or is it a spirit of divination? Is it the real spirit, or is it a lying spirit? One of the questions could be, how much is this going to cost me? Amen? How much is this going to cost me? Because while the guys and the ladies on TBN want you to think that their product is absolutely free, those people do not give things away. Okay? Their term free is basically, it's like the heroin dealer who will give you free heroin to start. But it's not free after that, because he's going to make a lot of money on you. So they may start out with a gift for free, but after that, you're going to fork over the money, or you're not getting anything. And I've challenged some people that watch us, call Perry Stone, call Joyce Myers, call these people. Say, yeah, you had offer number 498 on television. I saw it the other day. Is there any way I can get that absolutely free without sending in any money? Try it. See what happens. Those people are not in the habit of giving things away for free. There's always going to be a price attached to it. Follow me? That's how she brought her masters much gain. Okay? And here's the sad thing of it. Where's this girl's parents? She's a damsel. That term means that she is more than likely a teenage girl. Where's her parents? What about her life before this time? We don't know anything. Okay? We just see this sad window of a young lady who is, her life belongs to Satan himself, and the fact that she has this gift or she has this spirit, and she's not even the master of her own fate. There are men who own her and control her. They're the ones that are raking in the profits off this thing. So now look at verse 17. The same followed Paul and us. Who is us? Who's writing this? Little side note here. Who is us? Why is he writing it in the second person or first person? Who is us? Luke. Luke is the guy who wrote the book of Acts. All right? Just jot that down somewhere. You never know. God might ask you that question before he lets you in. Quick, who wrote the book of Acts? There you go. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Show me what was wrong in what she said. Show me what was wrong in what she said. There's nothing wrong in what she said that I can detect. "These men are the servants of the Most High God." That's correct, right? "Which show unto us the way of salvation." That's correct. So there wasn't anything wrong in what she was saying. But look at the next verse. "And this did she many days." She followed these guys around. And she said this over and over and over again. And wherever these guys went, she's blowing the horn. "These are the servants of the Most High God." Okay? And there shows the way of salvation. Paul being grieved. So why was Paul upset about this? Give me your theory. Give me your ideas. Do what? He tried the spirits. So what does that mean? Okay. Yeah. Think about this. Why does Paul need advertisement from her? He doesn't. And he doesn't want it. Okay? I don't want our ministry to end up as an advertisement at the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, California. "Hey, Satanists, you need to watch Mike Hoggard. He's great." I don't want that. I don't want them advertising me. I don't want to be associated with them in any way, shape, or form other than to be a wanted poster in their church saying $10,000 bounty on Mike Hoggard. What did I just say? What was I thinking? I don't want to be seen as on their side. I don't want to be hooked in. I don't want her and her masters advertising me, thinking and get people to think that I'm hooked in with them. I don't want any part of it. Bingo. Bingo. Satan appears as an angel of light, and his apostles as well, transformed as the ministers of light. Okay? In fact, let's look at that, because there's something there. Let's see, that's second. Well, we're in 2 Corinthians 11 anyway. We just haven't talked about it in a while. Verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So Paul knows this, and he's going, I do not want to be associated with her in any way. And it's grieving him. And so look at what he does. He said, this she did many days, but Paul being grieved, turned aside and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Wow. That's power. When her master saw that, listen to their masters. We're going to kill Paul. That the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They're going to get them to kill Paul and Silas because these guys, or Paul, cut into their revenue stream. Very important to remember. The guy who is selling hot dogs from a hot dog stand doesn't want a guy moving in next door who gives away a better hot dog for free. Amen? So if you're selling hot dogs and a guy moves in next door who's a wealthy man, he's got it made, he doesn't need money, he just wants to give back what he's been given, he's going to give away better hot dogs for free. The guy selling the hot dogs is going to try every trick in the book to get him thrown out of town because this is cutting into his revenue stream. Okay? So, I happen to know this because somebody sent it to me. Perry Stone, who is a false prophet all the way, he does a lot of stuff on prophecy so people follow him. Ooh, he's got prophecy things. Problem is, he doesn't get them from the Bible. He's got all kinds of mystery things that he's uncovered that nobody else knows. And you have to get them from him. And so people nowadays, and I knew this a long time ago. People nowadays, they see a video they like. What do they do with it? Post it on YouTube. Right? Okay. Covey, I saw this coming. Because I was the recipient of video cassettes that people would hand me. Have you seen this? Have you seen this video? No, what is it? And they would hand me some copy they made of some video they got. No, let me see it. So I had in my stack of video cassettes stuff that somebody had seen from somebody else, and they copied them and they gave them to me. So I knew that even Christians copied copyrighted material. I knew it. Okay? So, rather than copyrighting my stuff and being mad all the time, I just said, well, I know you're going to copy it, so copy it right. Do a good job with it. So copy away. Give it out. Who cares? They even asked me in Kenya. They said, Pastor, you give away your videos? Yeah. And they said, what would you do if you found out somebody was selling your DVDs? And I didn't know this at the time, but Kenya has a, you can go to Kenya and find any movie you want for a dollar. Okay? It's not legal, but you can find it. Okay? They bootleg videos. And apparently, and I didn't know this, but those guys are going, what are you going to do if you find somebody selling your DVDs? And I said, well, first thing, and I kind of caught on. I thought, well, first thing is, if he really needed the money, I guess I wouldn't have a problem with it. If he's going to feed his kids with it, that'd be fine. Second of all, God's watching. God's able to take care of it better than I can. So I'll just let God worry about it. I'll just keep making them. And they went. So Perry Stone got tired of YouTube cutting into his revenue stream. Because why would people send $30 to Perry Stone for a DVD when they could watch it on YouTube for free? So he put in his magazine, his monthly magazine, a letter from his lawyers saying, if you are posting Dr. Perry Stone's videos on YouTube, cut it out. Or we'll have your YouTube channel closed down. You're cutting into vital ministry resources, is what they called it. Vital ministry resources. Okay? By watching his DVDs for free. And I'm just going, now wait a minute. Where did he get his information from? If he got it from God, What did he have to give God to get it? Nothing. What'd you pay for the first sermon you heard? What'd you pay for the gospel? What would you pay for the gospel? I'd give everything I had for the gospel. But what did I pay for the gospel? Nothing. And God dealt with me about that years ago when I used to sell videos and books. And God said, Mike, don't do it anymore. So I quit. Because God reminded me, Mike, how much money did you give me to get this stuff? Not a dime. Then don't charge anybody. But God said, don't butt me. Okay? I'll take care of you. And he's done a better job than I could have ever done. Okay? So there's your first clue. Is the price that's fixed to what it is that they're giving away, that they're giving you. Okay? It's a spirit of divination, more than likely, if it costs money. If they're going to charge you for it, more than likely, they didn't get it from God, because they want to sell it as their living or whatever. So, when Paul shut this down, he shut down their revenue stream. And he was going to stop, and those guys were going to stop at nothing to make sure that Paul and Silas were done away with. Who else came after Paul that we know about in Paul's life, in Paul's ministry? Who else came after Paul along the same lines? Alexander the coppersmith. Now, why did a man who made things out of copper go after the Apostle Paul and want him dead? Because he preached against idols. Alexander the coppersmith said, who is this Paul that comes to us and says that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, and that God can be found for free? These guys made huge sums of money selling things that they told the people they had to have in order to reach the gods. It's a lie. Fortune tellers do not tell the fortune for free. Palm readers do not read your palm for free. Diviners do not do those things for free. In fact, I got a verse coming up here in a little bit. They almost without fail, they will charge money. If not the first time, they certainly will do it the second time. And if you ever receive, I made the mistake one time. I was watching, back in the 80s, I was watching the Old Time Gospel Hour. Jerry Falwell, and they had some singers on there, the Old Time Gospel Hour trio, and I liked one of their songs, so they said, you can get this cassette for free. Well, I was in college and broke and didn't have any money, so I went, free? So I ordered from Jerry Falwell a cassette for free. I didn't know that I was going to get my little mailbox at school inundated with stuff every week wanting me to donate. I didn't know that that was the cost of it. He didn't get any money out of me because I'm broke. I'm in college. Go find somebody else. But they'll charge for money. Here's my assessment of divination. An attempt at prophesying, fortune telling, revealing unknown things, etc., by any other means than the Word of God. Any other means than the Word of God. Now, some things we can see in a microscope, a telescope. We can hear it with our ears. We can see it with our eyes. We can taste it. We can touch it. We can smell it. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about unknown knowledge that can't be seen, can't be heard. And finding those things out by any other means than the written record of the Word of God. Okay? If you didn't find it in the Bible, to me, you didn't find anything. Okay? You don't impress me by coming up with your theories and how God told you this and how God told you that. If you cannot point to the place in the Bible that's going to show us the way, then I'm not interested in hearing it. Numbers chapter 22. You remember the story of Balaam, correct? In fact, we have a reference to Balaam, don't we? Numbers chapter 22, you can look there. And then Peter made mention of Balaam, did he not? Let's see here. Numbers chapter 22, verse 7. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with, here it is, the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Balak sent messengers to Balaam and said, the Jews are coming. We fear them. They must be stopped. We want you to place a curse on them. Here's our fees. Here's what we're going to pay you. We're going to give you large sums of money for this. Man, is that the bell already? I'm just getting started. Here's large sums of money for this. Take it. Okay? And don't think, when you read the story of Balaam, don't think that Balaam's acting all nice and spiritual. When you read 2 Peter, you find out that Balaam had more of an interest in what they were offering than what appears just reading his story. Balaam wanted that fee. He wanted that payment. He wanted that. So, rewards of divination. Do you remember who was it that wanted to be healed from leprosy? Went to Elisha. Who was that? Naaman. And Naaman brought all kinds of gifts, clothing, money. I mean, he brought all kinds of things. And Elisha never actually came out himself. He sent Gehazi, his servant. Gehazi, go tell him to wash in the River Jordan 7 times. And Naaman is angry because the great man of God does not come out himself. Elisha knew what was going on. And Naaman says, well, here, I have all of this stuff here for you. Gehazi says, my servant, my lord, my master, doesn't require those things. He's given you the key. Go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman left out of there angry because in his religion, when you went to the great man of God, you came with your hands full of offerings and payments and all kinds of things. And here is this man who won't take it. Do you remember what Gehazi ended up doing? Gehazi, his servant, after Naaman dips in the River Jordan 7 times and he's healed of his leprosy, Gehazi goes up to him and he says, praise the Lord, it worked. Man, we're so proud of you. God bless you. You know, if you really wanted to give that stuff, my master will take it. And Gehazi took everything that Naaman brought for Elisha, but Elisha didn't want it. Gehazi took it unto himself. You know what happened to Gehazi? When Elisha found out about it, he said, the leprosy that was on Naaman, let it fall upon thee. And he was leprous from that hour till the day he died. What a price to pay. Amen? What a price to pay. And so, a lot of times, it can be discerned. Let me read. I lost my place. I guess God wants me to shut up. In 2 Peter chapter 2, very quickly, he references Balaam. In 2 Peter 2, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved those wages. Balaam wanted to be paid. I'll do it for money. I'll do it for a price. I wouldn't do that for half of your kingdom. And he was naming his price is what he was doing. And that's one of the signs right there that you have, instead of the real Spirit of God, you have the Spirit being given out by way of payment or by way of gifts or by way of offerings or what have you. And these guys know this. These false prophets know this. So they have a deceitful way of even taking, quote unquote, your payment. They just say it's a gift. Maybe you don't need to do it the first time, but you'll have to do it the second time and the third time and the fourth time. But they're going to keep sending you stuff in the mail until you either keep rejecting them or you finally end up sending them money. Or they may offer you this absolutely free, but then withhold something back that they also say you need and make you pay for it. And this is really what gets me, and I'll shut up after this. These false prophets that you hear, they'll spend their television time telling you, you have absolutely have to have this teaching. This teaching is vital for you. This teaching is all important for you. If you really want to find success with God, if you really want to know the real Holy Spirit, you must get this teaching. And they set it up for 30 minutes that if you don't get this, you're going to continue to be the same loser that you always have been, and that you have to have this. But they refuse to give it away. They don't tell you you have to have it and then give it to you. You have to have it. And the only person in the whole world who has this is me. That's how they set everybody up. So is it the Holy Spirit? It depends. What's it going to cost you for listening to it? What's it going to cost you? Okay, the gospel was free. When you were reading your Bible, on the tail end of just being cold against God and backslid and falling into sin, when you were reading your Bible and God showed you something, and God dealt with you, and God blessed you with something out of His Word, and you were bawling your eyes out, what did God charge you for that? In fact, what were the good things you had done when you received that blessing? What was Sarah doing when the Lord stood there and said, this time next year you're going to have a child? What was Sarah doing? She laughed and then she lied. And the Lord said, you did laugh. And I'm telling you, this time next year, you're going to have a son. So don't tell me that if we do good things enough, then God will give us great blessings. God gives us great blessings because He loves us, which then changes our hearts, and we just end up doing good things for the Lord anyway. I mean, you've heard me said it. We don't worship God to get Him to do something. We worship Him because He already has. Amen. Father, instruct us in your word. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Help us to see things, Lord, that we need to see. And help us, dear God, please, God, help us to have discernment. The days we're living in, there are many, many false ways, Lord, being spread all over the world. Facebook, YouTube, any kind of social media, Lord. They've gained much ground in these last days. But I guess, Father, we should expect that. Father, we're not saying to anybody in the world today that we're right, because we know we're not. We are saying to the world that you and you alone are right, and all of us are out of the way. So, Father, it is to you that we send people. It is to you, Lord, and to your word, and we commend these people to your spirit, Father, so that they'll know the truth and they'll be free and not think that any kind of truth can be gained by learning it from us. Father, they just have need to read the scriptures and they'll find all the truth they need. Father, give us discernment of things in these last days. Give your people, Lord, open up their eyes. Help them to see, Lord, where the real spirit is. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen.